Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing the Nashville Predators. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Adam Vingan from The Athletic. Adam, what's going on, brother? How we doing?
Was that the Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch?
Sure was.
By Ryan Porth?
Sure was.
Nice call.
Correct.
Good call there.
Just for you.
You a fan, Vingan?
Of the Funky Bunch?
Yeah.
I mean, who's not a fan of Mark Wahlberg?
That's a good question.
Pretty good actor.
Are you not a fan?
I particularly like it when he talks to animals.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too.
I don't get the reference.
Are you not a Good Vibrations fan?
You don't get the reference.
Talks to animals?
Ted.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Come on,
That's
man.
So stupid.
No, hold on.
No, I love that movie. I'm sorry.
Several years ago, Andy Samberg on SNL, Andy Samberg had a recurring segment called Mark Wahlberg Talks to Animals, where Andy Samberg, as Mark Wahlberg, would go up to like farm animals and have conversations with them.
See, I thought you were talking about Ted, too. So
no.
You totally went a different direction.
Both of you didn't understand the reference. So Robbie's in the doghouse just like Rex Rex.
Thank you.
You're not as hip as I thought.
Appreciate it.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know the SNL one. But yeah.
Productive Ted, start to the interview.
Yeah, Ted's a great movie. I don't know if I've seen the...
Is it though?
Well,
is it a great movie?
It's pretty good, man. I mean, if a movie makes you laugh that many times, isn't it a good movie? I'm not saying it's an Oscar winner.
You heard about the people that like... took their grandchildren to see Ted, thinking it was like this cute movie about a teddy bear. And,
oh, gosh.
Turns out it wasn't.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that was a film.
Your mileage on Seth MacFarlane might vary.
Yeah, I think it would for sure. Adam Vingan from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam, two wins in a row for the Nashville Predators. A really impressive game Saturday night against Columbus. A shutout performance last night against Detroit. What have you seen from the group in the last two games that's been different, and what do you like about these last two wins for the Preds?
Well, last night they scored a couple of power play goals. Anytime the Predators score a power play goal, it's a big deal, as far as I'm concerned. So that's good. I think about the game on Saturday against Columbus, the 4-2 win, to me, that is the blueprint for how this team is going to have to play to win every night or every game. Nothing about what they did in that game was particularly alluring. There weren't any really big highlight reel plays or, you know, anything like that. You know, I think of Colton Sisson's goal, just puck was thrown to the crease and he put himself there and was able to tap it in and dig it in. You know, those are the type of goals we haven't seen a lot from the Predators this season, and goals that I know that they want to score more often. You know, outside of that 3 to 5 minute stretch at the beginning of the second period where Columbus was able to tie the game, the Predators controlled it, you know, for the other 55 to 57 minutes. They had good zone time. They had a big advantage in high danger scoring chances. I really liked what I saw from that game. Last night's game for two periods was a snoozer. Until Philip Forsberg, say that 10 times fast, had his goal disallowed. It wasn't a very exciting game. But things picked up in the third period. The league disallowing Philip Forsberg's goal. I can't say Philip Forsberg today.
Man. Let's
go back to Mark Wahlberg, yes. I had my car was rifled through last night, so perhaps I'm a bit frazzled by Philip Forsberg. Maybe the perp had a mustache. I don't know.
Wait, you think he did it?
Well, he has an alibi. He wasn't in town.
Rex Road is steering us directly off the rails.
did they take anything?
No, they did not. I clearly had no valuables in my car. But speaking of valuables, Philip Forsberg, another great game last night. 17 points in 18 games. You know, he had the goal that was disallowed. He got it back on the power play. Made a great pass to Ellie Tolvanen. And watching that replay, you know, three of the four players on the Red Wings penalty kill unit went right to Philip Forsberg when he had that puck, when he wrapped around into the circle because they expected him to shoot, which left Ellie Tolvanen all alone on the other side. It was a great cross-slot pass to free up Tolvanen for a goal, his first power play goal in the NHL. So, yeah, I think they're on the right track. We tend to be prisoners of the moment in sports. I really do think they need to win these next three games because they have a very tough schedule after that. They have another game against Detroit tomorrow. They have two games against Columbus at home on the weekend. And then they basically play Carolina, Florida, and Tampa Bay for like 2 weeks. So these next three games are critically important to getting back in the race.
Well, you said nothing alluring. See, I think Tolvanen's shot on that power play was alluring. I thought that was something you look at and say, okay. See, now this is something that you could see maybe working for this team moving forward. But, Bingen, I want to ask you, I want to go to two of your takes right now. First of all, I want to know, because the Preds are up to 21st in the league right now at 14.1% on power play, nothing to write home about, but at what point can you no longer use your Simpsons gif, like, oh, my God, the Predators score a power play goal? Like, if they're in the top half of the league, like, what's your cutoff? That's one question. Two, have you changed your mind at all on the whole Pekka-Rinne UC Saros thing? Because if I'm coaching this team, I'm rolling with the Vezina winner at this point.
Okay. To answer your first question, that is probably my most popular gif, so I'll continue to use it as long as I need to. You should go and look at the retweets and likes for those two, because I was able to tweet it twice last night. Go look at the retweets and likes. Very popular.
But what? So but if they're good, you can't use it.
Well, until they get into the... Okay, I'll answer your question. They have to have a top 10 power play for me to stop using it.
Wow, top 10.
That's a high bar.
That's high bar. Okay.
Yes. They have to have... I was going to say top 5, but I changed to top 10. They need to have a top 10 power play in order for me to stop using it. And to answer your second question, yes, I have changed my mind. I do believe that as long as this team is winning and Pekka-Rinne gives them the best chances to win and they... want to get back into the race, you know, I think they should ride Pekka-Rinne. I mean, I do still think that UC Saros, you know, needs to get some good playing time because we don't know what the future holds for Pekka after this season, and you need to see a little bit more from UC Saros, maybe. I know he's been in the league for a few years now. But right now, Pekka has earned the right to play. So, you know, perhaps I have changed my tune on ride or die with UC Saros.
Adam Vingen from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam, obviously another very impressive performance last night from Philip Forsberg, and we talked about it to begin the week, the report coming out from Elliott Friedman over the weekend about untouchable players for the Predators, Philip Forsberg not being on that list. I've gone on record saying, I mean, the Predators are not going to trade Philip Forsberg. I guess you could never say never unless they get an offer that just blows their socks off, but he's playing really well right now, and he is eligible, I believe, for a contract extension this offseason. What do you think a new contract could look like for Philip Forsberg?
Yeah, that's a good question. You're right. He is eligible for a contract extension this summer. I agree with you that if the Predators are planning to rebuild or considering rebuilding, and they need to have some veterans around to lead this next generation, you know, Philip Forsberg is one guy I would definitely have around. You know, and to be clear, language is always important in reports like that. You know, Elliott Friedman is an excellent reporter, and he doesn't just put things out there to put things out there.
Sure.
So we you know, you can trust what Elliott says. But he did not say that the Predators are dangling Philip Forsberg as trade bait. He did not say that the Predators are even considering trading Philip Forsberg. His report just suggested that if another team were to call with an offer for Philip Forsberg, the Predators wouldn't immediately dismiss it out of hand. But if Philip is playing like this, it is hard to move on from him. I mean, he's really – can you imagine what this team would be like right now without Philip Forsberg?
Yeah.
Like, just think about that for example. Just think about that for a second, how bad this team would be if not for Philip carrying the load on offense. But what his next contract could look like, I mean, I would have to do some digging into recent contracts, but off the top of my head, you know, a cap hit somewhere between $7.5 and $8 million doesn't seem like a stretch. But the issue, of course, is that if this team is considering rebuilding, salary cap flexibility is so important. And You can't have Roman Yossi signed for 8 years at $9 million. And Ryan Johansson and Matthew Shane for several more years at $8 million, and then Philip Forsberg for 6 or 7 years at $8 million. Like, that's not going to work. So I feel like there might have to be another domino that falls in order for that to happen. But, you know, he's playing like a guy who deserves, you know, a significant raise in the near future. So I think anywhere between 7.5 and 8 off the top of my head would make sense.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you. Of course, you also need to have good players. Like, it's whatever stage of, you know, you're at, right? I mean, he's a guy at 26 that I could see, you know, being good for a while. By the way, just looking through this, let me give you both, you guys, give me your guess here. The Anaheim Ducks power play percentage in 19 games.
9%.
Vingan, don't cheat.
8.6.
2.2%.
Wow.
Now that's a team that deserves some Simpsons gifts if they get another one this year. So Ving, I want to ask you about the lines. You know, we had Deshane on earlier, kind of asking about. I mean, we're talking about number one center Mikael Granlund on this team. What do you think of all the mixing and matching? Do you think that John Hines is finding something now? Is that any sort of indication that we can get from these last two games?
Well, it's funny because one of the criticisms of John Hines is his inability to find lines and stick with them. But he liked the play of the Granlund line with Forsberg and Arvidsson and the Duchesne line with Yarncroke and Grimaldi in Columbus on Saturday, that even with the return of Ryan Johansson, he wanted those two lines to stick together. I really like the idea of Johansson playing with Elie Tolvanen. Now, would I have it on a quote-unquote third line? No. But I think what's important when talking about lines, it's not necessarily how they're ordered when we tweet out the lines, but how they're used and their ice time. So I have it pulled up right now in terms of 5-on-5 ice time per line last night. The Duchesne line had 12 minutes and 1 second. Granlund's line had 10 minutes and 46 seconds. Sisson's line had 9 minutes and 39 seconds. And Johansson's line had 9 minutes and 30 seconds. So to me, what sticks out about that is how balanced that is. You know, it isn't as if though the Duchesne line's playing 15 or 16 minutes, the Granlund line's playing 12 or 13 minutes, the Sisson's line is playing 7 minutes, and the Johansson line is playing 5 minutes. Like, it's clear based on these numbers that John Hines felt comfortable rolling all four lines, and that's what's important. You want to be able to have four lines that you can rely on in all situations, which the Predators were able to do last night. So, you know, in the long run, is playing Ryan Johansson on the quote-unquote third line a good idea or a long-term solution? Probably not. But it worked last night, and the Predators are actually playing well. So don't mess with success when you finally have it.
Adam Vingan from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Adam, great stuff as always, my friend. We appreciate you taking time to join us.
All right, Joe. During the break, I need you to type in Mark Wahlberg talks to animals on YouTube. Watch it and then talk about it on the other side of the break.
I will, as long as you lock your car tonight.
Nobody took my DVD collection.
Thank you.
Nobody wanted the Friday, next Friday, Friday after next trilogy.
That's right.
What about your Nirvana CD? Hey.
I don't have any Nirvana CDs.
I would have stolen that. I would have taken Friday, not the sequels.
Yeah, me too. Adam, yeah, thank you, brother.
I appreciate it.
Bye. We'll see you later. Preds fan, join 102.5 The Game tonight from 6 to 7 p.m. for Smashville Live with special guests Rocco Grimaldi and Callie Yarncroke. Smashville Live airs every Wednesday on 102.5 The Game during the Preds season and will feature Preds players, former players, and other special guests. And you can watch the show online this year via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com. Smashville Live, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. We'll be right back, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.